True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at our Friday home until football season. That is Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Now, normally we would have Elliot Shore Parks here Friday at 3.
Uh-huh.
And normally that call would be brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. But Elliot just doesn't take his job seriously, and he is at a quote-unquote Friday afternoon wedding.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do we believe him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I don't believe that he couldn't find a way, like, stop the service. You know what I mean?
Just walk out. Act like you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Anyone's going to miss you in the church?
You want to walk out anyway.
Yeah, come on. They're still going to be married whether you're in the church or not.
Right.
You are not one of the – there's really only three people that have to be in there.
Right.
The person doing the service.
And the people getting married.
That's it.
Now, I did have a vision of Elliot, like, outside at the cocktail hour. We're yelling at him. He's arguing.
Oh.
And, you know, it's causing a scene at the wedding.
Yeah, Jack and I were saying, like, we should just, if he was doing it from the wedding, we should have just talked to him about his most infuriating takes to make him fight with us for a full 20 minutes at the wedding.
Although, you know, he would have been like whispering the entire time.
Yes, yeah.
Would've
we could have amped him up.
Well, Elliot is definitely waiting for the reception.
Oh, are you kidding? He's going to be twirling his little finger up.
Oh, YouTube can finally see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
With the stupid hand twirl he does when he's really feeling it.
When he's dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Drinking one hand.
Twirling
with the other.
Like, I'm about to go in. Oh, we're so terrified.
I wish I had known about that at his wedding so I could have watched out for it.
It's all I look at.
Oh, dude.
You know that it's when
he was putting on a show at his wedding.
He was.
Yes.
It's like everyone has their, like, when Seltzer has too many, he starts close talking.
Yeah.
Right.
When Elliot has too many, hand motion. That,
yeah.
Yeah, he becomes young Elliot again.
It's good.
Man.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that's his thing.
Well, and how thirsty is it for the Eagles guy to wear a green tux at his
right.
ceremony? Like, come on, Elliot.
He didn't look good, though.
Well, he was. He was wearing a green tux.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, and Jack doesn't want to comment on this?
No. No, I'm thinking if I can. No.
What, were you wearing a green tux?
No. It's all good. Okay. I was thinking about making a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke.
I'm glad. Glad you thought about it first.
I think I know what joke you were going to make, but you showed a lot of self-control there.
Yep.
Because you don't often show that sort of self-control.
No, listen, everything, again, I largely, on this show and in life, I play checkers.
You're not a chess guy.
Yeah, like, I think Spike, like, maybe when he first started, like, maybe he thought there was some chess being played. But
no.
There's nothing.
No chess.
Strictly just here, happy to be here.
Yep, he's always, king me.
Yeah,
that's Jack.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to the Phils in a second. Just a quick note on the Eagles. Now, they're going to vote on these rule changes. Mm-hmm. You know, we had heard about the kickoff change. We had heard about the Eagles' proposal to make overtime the same in playoffs as regular season. Yeah. And we heard earlier this week from Mike Florio that he didn't think there was enough support against the tush push to get it banned. However, Diana Russini has heard differently.
I'm hearing that the tush push is building some momentum. I know we've talked about it here on the show where I said I didn't think that this would probably be the year where I could see change. I feel like it's getting more momentum in terms of those opposed to it than I've ever heard before. Usually it's like everyone's like, nah. There's like those one or two people that sit on it that are against it. But it's catching fire.
But there was only one team that brought it up. It was the Packers. Now all of a sudden everyone wants to ban it because they can't stop it.
The one to scream it doesn't mean you don't, you know, there's some that are probably are sitting there like, I don't want to be the one to raise my hands.
You know what? I blame the NFL for this. Mm-hmm. If the entire reason that they're saying it could be banned is because of injury, and the NFL says there were no injuries, there shouldn't even be a vote on the rule. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't even be a vote on the rule. Whoever is in charge of that, I guess Troy Vincent and Goodell to an extent, whoever is in charge of it, it shouldn't be up for vote. You shouldn't just be able to vote for something that you don't like because you can't stop it. Now, if they want to come back and say they want to come up with some reason why this isn't football, and you know, and change rules overall for it, but yeah. The idea that it is an injury risk, but they have no evidence that it is an injury risk, you shouldn't just allow teams to vote out a play they can't stop, which is what would be happening here, I think.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you on that.
Like on principle.
But the injury thing is really just a disguise for those who are opposed to it, I believe, just feel it's unfair or it's a disadvantage to the defense, and they can't figure out a way to stop it. Doesn't
right.
make it right, but I'm saying that's what I believe their motive is behind it. Let me ask you this. You know, the whole fair and balanced competitive edge thing, that's pretty much what Buffalo whined and used to get the rule changed in overtime so that everybody could get the ball the same.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
that wasn't anything about injury. That was more or less,
yep.
We lost the game and we didn't get a chance to get the ball. So we shall vote to change this rule.
For sure.
Like something
yes.
that had been in place
well,
that didn't
what...
get changed until one team felt like, oh, we lost this game that we could have won if we had got the ball back.
Now,
and they changed the rule.
I agree there, but then the pretense for changing the rule should be it's not fair. Not, well, do you see what I'm saying?
I agree with you. But to
you know
me,
what I mean?
When they changed that rule, they made it okay to say when something's not fair, we can change it to make it fair.
Right. Like, to me, them trying to ban the tush push is like saying you shouldn't have a guy who could run faster than a 4.3.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't cover him. He's too fast. Or a kicker who can kick a field goal 70 yards.
You know
it's
want?
Like,
you
shouldn't be able to kick a 70-yard field goal.
You know what they want, Spike? And, you know, this has been going on for the last few years. And it's been more prominent with us and with our team because we seem like the ones who have taken advantage of this change of rule. But do you guys realize this was actually a rule that you weren't allowed to push players?
Right.
I always
they
go back.
It
so
like
they
10
changed
years ago,
the
right.
rule
right.
to you allow to allow you to do this. So at some point, this actually was illegal.
Yes. And
it was illegal at some
the
point.
The Leinart game in Notre Dame
yep.
where they pushed him
Reggie
through.
Reggie Bush pushed him in.
Yeah. That's where, yep. That's when the first outrage happened.
Yeah.
And I have no idea when they even changed it back.
Well, you're not allowed to pull a guy, right? That's still a rule. I don't think you're allowed to pull somebody.
No, you can't pull somebody.
But then I guess my thing would be, is the defense allowed to use two guys to push you backwards?
See, here's why the defense can't do that. Because what if you don't actually push? So, in other words, the defense doesn't know the play. If they stack all their guys up inside
sure.
there,
yep.
you could actually throw the ball. So, if the league – here's the thing I believe these teams want the league to do. It's ban the ability to push guys. Because here's what happens from a defensive standpoint. We initially stop you. The refs don't blow the whistle.
Correct.
Which allows guys, two or three guys from behind you, to continue to push the pile to where eventually forward progress gives you either a touchdown or a first down.
Well, couldn't they just change it by saying that when you're forward like having the refs blow forward progress stopping early.
Early.
Early, right? Like
be quicker with it.
Be quicker yeah, with it.
That's like, that is a way to do it.
You know, because I always that's
or
what
just
I
make
thought
it or just but, say a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I was going to say, but how do you determine when forward progress should be stopped?
Right. Well, they determine it sometimes, right? Like sometimes they blow a play dead when the player is still on their feet. Mm-hmm. Not just quarterbacks, you know, running backs and wide receivers. Sometimes they'll blow a play dead when there's two defenders there and the guy won't go down. They'll mm-hmm. blow that play dead and the guy never gets tackled. So I guess my thing would be,
I just think in a scrum is harder.
It's harder, for sure. Right? Yeah.
Well, so I don't want the rule banned, but I understand where that side is coming from. I don't think it's going to get banned. But I think what they really want is they don't want you to be able to push guys.
Right. And I think last year specifically, the Eagles leaned on it. Like they were
than they had in the past.
Right.
They were doing on a first down in the red zone.
Well, they were almost saying we're going to treat this as if we have two chances to do it. So on a third and one, we're going to do it and then we're going to do it again. You know, maybe the Eagles are a little bit guilty of overusing the play and just sort of like,
which was well within their right.
It's
not
an
illegal play. Yes,
absolutely.
It's not an illegal play.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're going to get the votes for it. But it'll be interesting to see how many votes they do get compared to what they've gotten in the past.
And then see if it comes up again next year.
Yep.
215-592-9494. It is an overreaction Friday on the WIP afternoon show. Phillies win 7-3. Do you feel better or worse? I feel better because those strikeouts felt like good strikeouts to me. I saw a different approach at the plate. I saw a team willing to take pitches. I saw a team that wasn't chasing nearly as much. The taking all those pitches got the starter out of the game in the sixth inning.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
A productive 19 strikeouts.
That's the key.
215-592-9494. Colin in Limerick, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you this fine day?
Hey, Colin.
What's up, Colin?
Hello. After I got off the phone yesterday, I need to apologize to you guys.
You were out of control.
I know, and I usually am. And I forget that you guys have earmuff headphones on. It is extremely
loud.
Inconsiderate of me to be ranting and raving. Well, you guys had headphones on, and
no,
I want to.
The passion's there, though, Colin.
I apologize.
Yeah, no, but we like the passion.
I like the passion. You don't need the volume. You know, I got tinnitus in the left ear.
They go,
I don't need this guy
to
blast him.
Pour one out.
Forget about it. Let's
there it is,
go, baby. There you go. You want to complain? Well, guess what? I'm back.
Oh, yo, God, you're back already.
19 strikeouts.
Yes.
Not like.
But they were a good 19
okay,
strikeouts.
But they won.
Yeah.
And we're on pace for 162-0.
Yes,
record.
Sir.
The
yes.
Big bats, they hit their home runs when they should have. Schwarber and Harper, they're the big bats. They hit home runs, right?
Yep.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Then they should have. And we also had some small ball going later. Realmuto with the, what, he have a triple? And Alec Boehm with a double?
But big hit,
I don't
mate.
Really, but I really don't see, I mean, Yes, 19 strikeouts. I get it. We don't want them to be striking out 19 gosh darn times. But it's game one.
As long as they're good strikeouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, like we talked about yesterday, they have to improve. There has to be improvement. We can't be, I used to hate it when Jason Worth would be swinging at this absolute junk in the dirt. Now.
Wait a minute. Oh, Jason Worth had a great eye.
Yeah, Jason Worth had one of the best eyes in the last 25 years.
I used to watch him all the time swing at junk. Now he would make contact, and it would be somehow he would get on base. But it used to be so frustrating.
Come on, Colin.
Yesterday we saw improvement with their pitching choice. What they were going to swing at, what they weren't going to swing at.
Yes,
Trey even Turner, Castellanos. Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts.
It won't.
Colin, next.
What he needs to do is, he needs to pull his kid from school, and his kid needs to be at every single game because he is a completely different player in the middle of the summer when his boy is there than any other time. I've watched it the past three seasons.
Well, Liam was there yesterday. That's why he saw a patient approach.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, is that why Schwarber gets good when June happens? Because Liam is there?
No, I don't know. That's just the weather warming up.
Yeah. Colin, for next question today, give us your go-to pop star.
All right. I had a few questions about how we're going to what the criteria is. But I know. Hold on.
All right.
Relax.
All right.
I'm going to say Madonna. Does Madonna count?
Yes. Oh, that's a big answer.
Oh, yes. It's an all-time pop star. She was always a pop star.
She's still a pop star.
Yes.
70.
Yes. Now, I just want to have a little talk with everybody about small ball.
Okay.
We're obsessed with it.
Well, there seems to be a misunderstanding about what small ball is. So Colin just said they played a little bit of small ball. JT had a triple, and then Bohm had a double.
Yeah, that's not small.
That is not small ball.
Yeah.
Small ball is not just not hitting a home run. Small ball is bunting guys over, you know, hitting the ball on the ground the other way to move a guy across.
Oh, good.
Sack flies.
Baseball was meant to be played.
Yeah, sack flies. And they do need to do that a little bit.
It needs to be in the playbook.
Yes, yes.
I know we don't do playbooks, Ike, but it needs to be in the playbook.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I hadn't heard playbook with baseball.
It's just so funny because obviously your guys' peak, I would say, was in the 90s.
Yeah.
No, my peak is now.
No, I know.
I was terrible in the 90s.
No, but like the 90s, baseball-wise, it was the whole saying was chicks take the long ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like home runs. And now the Phillies, you know what we need more of?
Small ball.
Little bunts.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants that.
The whole Phillies offense was bunting. Well, I don't think people would be thrilled.
Well, and it's not like 93 Phils, which everybody loves. That was not a bunting team.
We've never had that team.
No.
When they went 08, that 06 through 2011. No. That's not what they were.
Really about just playing complimentary baseball.
Yeah.
Like, get the guy in from third base. If you have two strikes and there's a runner on second base, like before two strikes and you want to try to hit a double, hit a double. Mm-hmm. Two strikes, put the ball and play to the right side. But like, I don't know. The small ball thing is.
See, I'm convinced that this isn't an approach you sort of try to implement unless you have players that already approach baseball that way.
Sure. Yes.
Trying to turn guys who swing for the fence into contact hitters and station-to-station baseball players is never going
to
work.
I agree. To me, it's about the players who are capable of it doing it.
Yep.
And I think the Phillies have players who are capable of it and have sort of lost that.
Like, mm-hmm. Rojas should be able to do it.
Rojas should be able to do it.
Marsh should be able to do it.
Trey should be able to do it. Stott should be able to do it.
Yes.
I'm not counting on Casty to. And by the way, Bryce does it.
He has the ability to do it.
He has the bat control. He has the eye to do it.
Yep.
Even I think Schwarber has can do it.
Last year
he did. I thought he was
he pulled the ball on the right side when need be. He tried to steal a bag yesterday. Everyone liked that.
Yeah. He was pretty close.
He should have. Yeah, he could have got there.
He was pretty close.
By the way, because I can't get over this, Jason Wirth in his 4 years here.
Yeah.
404 OBP, 363, 373, 388.
Yeah, he is a bad example of a guy chasing out of the zone. Jason Wirth probably had the best eye of any Philly I've seen in the last. Like, since 2000. I can't think of another guy who was like him.
Yeah, Schwarber. But Bryce always talks about how he liked hitting behind Wirth. He saw a million pitches.
Yeah. Wirth was great.
Yeah.
Wait, the one other thing you said there. Small ball? No. Oh, bunting. I wonder, Jack, if you feel this way. I wonder if the ghost runner thing is going to. Because the reason that players are so bad at bunting is because it wasn't part of the game for so long. Mm-hmm. And so they never practiced it anymore. And they got to the major leagues, they couldn't do it. With the ghost runner thing happening during the regular season, I believe being able to bunt a guy over becomes a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they're going to start, like, coaching guys to do this again in, you know, in high school, in college, in the minors, so when they get here, they can do that. Because if you can get that guy on third, you are just – the number of times last year I felt like I watched a baseball game and they just couldn't get the guy to third was crazy.
Well, the strategy would have to change, because the strategy right now in extras is just score as many runs as you can, at least at the top of the inning.
Because the other team's going to have a chance
to get one, it's pretty easy for the – So the philosophy in extras.
You don't want to give away an out by bunting.
Exactly, like
move the runner over and then sacrifice
only going
and coming
up
in.
Only going up by one and giving up an out
doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah. Because
I don't like that.
I'm just telling you that's what would have to change for now. If you're at the bottom of the inning and they don't score, yeah, that's when the bunting I think becomes imperative, because then you just get them over and get them out.
I think major league players, hitters, should be able to lay down a bunt.
And I think and I agree with you. And here's the other thing about the strategy part of it. That should come into play instead of already predetermining what you're going to do. Who's your closer coming up? What part of the order does the other team have coming
up? Yep.
And if all you need is one run because you feel like your closer has the pitching advantage.
Yeah, if you still have your a great reliever at that point. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially a guy who's maybe a strikeout pitcher as well. Okay. Coming up next, look. It's been weeks since football season, and Tornado Shapiro still pops up at 3:30 every Friday. He was on last week when I wasn't here.
Great Tornado last week.
Yeah, had a hard time controlling it.
So, he kept bringing up his name. His big reference last week, Spike, you'd love this, I'm sure, was the 1985 Nova AD. And I was like, who?
Tornado is an older guy.
He's an older guy. Yeah. He's talking to a younger guy.
Yes. Oh, right, with you at the helm here.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, maybe if Spike was here, he'd know who, like, Jake Irvin.
We didn't know if he was a coach or
he used him
director.
Three times. Yeah. And at the end, I was like, Ike, who the hell was that?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
It's almost like Tornado had spent years doing shows with Angelo.
I would say so.
I never heard him on Angelo. So we will have the opening day forecast, the home opener forecast, with Tornado Shapiro next. Your calls as well on an Overreaction Friday. Do you feel better, worse, or the same? The same is only for cowards. After the Phillies win yesterday, and next question today is Lady Gaga's birthday, so give us your go-to pop star. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. The tournament is back, college basketball tournament. You can watch all the action at Chickie's and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.